What is this? Oh man! I did it again.
But.
Will somebody please press start?
That was loud.
I'll take Christian Living for 100.
That was good. That was quick. Well, welcome to Grace Junkies. On the phone, we have Jason Dunn, Michigan Charlie Myers, Larry Clough, and Gracie. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm your beautiful and wonderful host, Brad McFadden.
Well, beautiful.
Tonight we were going to talk about the topic that I picked out, anyway, was what it means to be a Christian, or what the definition of Christian is to us. I know that's a broad topic, but I was thinking about it from an evangelical standpoint. If you were talking to somebody and you asked them, "Are you a Christian?" and they said, "Well, I don't know," or "I was raised Catholic," or "Yes, I'm a Mormon." I mean, how would you follow that up with kind of verifying with them? What is your criteria for judging whether or not they have been saved? Or
well, and you were not saying that just in an abstract way. You want to know if they've been saved so that you can know how or whether you need to evangelize them.
Correct. Exactly. Yes.
You know, the first thing I would have to do is make sure that they're Bible-based and not some other book, you know, by asking them, you know, which version of the Bible are you using, or something to that effect. You know, personally, I like the NIV followed by the Message for help, you know, and see if they're even using the Word of God. That would be a good indication, because so many of them have such different material for sharing the Word of God, you know, as they know it.
So now you're talking about more about you're trying to figure. I don't. So you're talking about more in the context of a Mormon. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, the Mormon or a Jehovah's. You know, they take bits and pieces out of the Bible, not the whole thing, and mm-hmm. have the book, the Mormon book there. I mean, if a person says they're a Christian and they're studying the fundamentals of Mong Sung, they can't very well be a Christian. You know,
okay, so let me see if I can kind of reword this. You're saying that if you were talking to somebody, you would pose to them, do they believe the Bible, or do they study the Bible, and that would be a determination.
That would be the first step. Yep.
Okay.
And that would also give you a stepping stone for where to go. You know, which way to go, as far as if okay, they are Bible believing. Then you could go from there. If they're not Bible believing, then you have to overcome that problem. You know, growing up, you know, the thing that I always hated was when people said, "Well, the Bible tells us so." Well, a lot of people don't believe in the Holy Word of God. First item we have to overcome.
Okay.
Go
ahead, Gracie.
Well, I was just going to say, I think a good starter question to somebody who, you know, associates themselves as a Christian is to say, "Oh, so when did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And a lot of times that answer is just going to be, you know, up in the air. They're not going to really have an answer for you, because a lot of people label themselves as a Christian. I grew up Catholic, and every one of them believes that they are. And it's not that you can't be, you know, that's like a whole other debate, but you know, a lot of people think that because they know Jesus Christ's name, that makes them a Christian. So I think if you narrow down the question to them directly and say, "Oh, so when did you come to know him as your Savior?" That really is the turning point to make the, you know, discussion whether or not they really did make a relationship decision with him.
That's a real good point.
So now that leans itself to relationships. or are you talking about more or a relationship or a decision?
I think it's got to be both. I think it has to be both, because you can't, you know, it's very easy for someone to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins and he rose on the third day and that they're sinners. That's easy. But, you know, the question really comes into play, well, are they a follower? Or do they really, you know him? And there's a lot of people that think that because they said a prayer when they were 8 years old, that means that they've got this free ticket to heaven, and that's not necessarily the case. It's really a matter of, you know, do they have a walk with him? And, you know, it could be that maybe they did say this prayer at some time in their life, but, you know, you could just tell by their actions whether or not they're really walking in that. You can tell by their fruit. And it could be that somebody has just been led to believe that that's all they had to do and they really didn't have to become a disciple of his. You know, Jesus knows who are his. So, you know, that's just my feeling about it, is that if you ask them the question outright, when did you come to know Christ? It kind of just stops them in their track. And a lot of times people will say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I was baptized as a baby. That's usually what you hear, is I was baptized as a baby. Well, when did you really come to that point in your life where you said that, you know, you knew that Jesus died for you and that you couldn't get there by your own merit? When did you come to that place in your life? And that usually is, you know, a really good open door to know whether or not you're really dealing with an unbeliever or somebody that, you know, really has come to that place in their life where Jesus is their Savior.
I think that's a wonderful point. Jason, you work with children. I mean, you work with kids, right? Youth.
That's right.
And so, do you come across this issue quite a bit?
We come across with when you ask kids what they believe, and they'll say, "Well, I believe in God." And when you try to push that further, I think we make the determination when they say they believe in Jesus. It's not enough for them to believe in God, but they need to believe in Jesus. And when they make that determination, then we know which way we need to go with them. You know, if they don't acknowledge Jesus at all, we find that, you know, just that word, even in our culture, you know, even with these kids, is so divisive. You know, we it's like black and white. We kind of know where a kid lies if he says, "Well, I believe in Jesus," or if he says, "I believe in God," kind of nonchalantly like that. I think that helps us make a determination. Well, you know, he understands who Jesus is, you know, and then we start asking about the gospel. So, you know, I think when we find someone who, you know, if we're just bringing up conversation and the subject of faith comes up and we ask them, you know, "So what do you believe?" And if they say, "Well, I believe in God," you know, I think that can be really telling for us in that conversation. So, you know, that's how I see it with kids too. I mean, if they say Jesus, they believe in Jesus, then there's a lot more foundation there that's kind of behind that answer. So,
when I have had that conversation with adults, I will follow up with the question, "Well, who is Jesus?" And someone who really knows the Lord will know him as, you know, God incarnate. He'll know him as the Lord, and he'll be their Lord. Whereas somebody who is just a member of the church, and yes, we follow Jesus' teachings because he was a way to a way to heaven, well, there you go. I mean, Jesus is the way. He's the Lord. He is the Son of God. And if someone doesn't know that, regardless of the state of their faith, you need to make sure that they know that. So that certainly gives you both an indication as to whether they know Jesus, and also an indication of what you need to be telling them.
Is anybody else, not to interrupt Larry, but is anybody else hearing that muting and unmuting? You are muted. You are unmuted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize y'all were hearing that. I was muting while Larry was talking because I could hear somebody breathing on the phone, so I was trying to figure out who it was. I wasn't realizing I was interrupting y'all.
That's probably breathing on the phone.
I'll stop playing with it. Larry, I had a follow-up question for you because I know that you had experience and quite a bit of knowledge with dealing with Catholics. What would you say to somebody who was saying that...
Wait a minute. No, I don't. Everything I know about Catholicism, I have learned in the last, 4 weeks.
Well, you're
don't let him
then.
Kid you. I go to... He's a priest at the local Catholic church up the street. I see him wear his collar.
Let me rephrase my question. Larry, you posed with some authority on the Catholic subject, so I was going to follow up with a question, but let's open it up for everybody, okay, since Larry's not comfortable answering for himself. What would you say to somebody who says, I've been to confirmation? When you say, when did you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, in confirmation, I went through confirmation when I was 13, or in confirmation.
Well, let me just tell you about that. I can't speak to Catholics, but I can speak to the Lutheran Church, which has somewhat similar, is closer to the Catholics than most Protestant churches.
Do they do a confirmation?
They do a confirmation.
Okay.
And see, what they do is they do infant baptism, and that kind of, satisfies the requirements and gets you, into the family. But you have to make an adult confession of faith. And that's what confirmation is. Confirmation is where you are saying, I believe God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. And that is when you are proclaiming, as an adult, what you believe.
Well, I have a question for Larry.
Go ahead.
I was raised Catholic. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Tell me how the Catholics are different.
Well, actually, it's not different. But my question would be that I know when I was a little girl and I had to go for communion, okay, it was something that at a certain age I just had to do it. I had to get a little dress and I had to go, walk up like everybody else and look like a little bride. And I had to do my routine and my ritual and all that. And so that I could now, once I did communion for the first time, I can now partake in communion forever and always.
Right.
So my question would be for somebody, not to be debatable, but if you have somebody doing something like that at 13 years old, how is that not taking the risk that this is just part of the ritual, the normal ritual of something that they have to do? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's great. I mean, that they have confirmations and stuff like that. But I know for myself and my kids, I would rather my own kids come to that decision on their own than have to have it part of a ceremony to do that. It's wonderful when they do it. I mean, I have, my older daughter accepted Christ at 4, but you know what? She ended up getting baptized again when she was a lot older because she said, Mommy, I really didn't understand what I was doing back then. So I guess my question really is how can we separate and say that that's not just a ritual or a ceremony that they're conducting, and is it really making that definite decision to be not just a Christian, but to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be able to make him the Lord and Savior? There's Lord and Savior are two different things.
Well, absolutely.
So are they really able to? So that would be my question in regard to Lutheran Church. Are they really able to make that decision in a ceremony like that?
Okay, before you answer, Larry, let me say, let me just precede your answer by saying that, hey, that happens in the Baptist Church too. I mean, people see their friends getting baptized, and so they go up and they say, I want to be baptized. And the questions sometimes to verify if that person is being sincere are not, I mean, it's not thoroughly thought out. And so you'll have people in their 20s or even in their 30s come back and go, I was baptized when I was 7, but I didn't really get saved until I was 25. You know, I mean, that happens. So I'm saying is that, it can happen in, at least in the Baptist church as well, if not other Protestant churches. So go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, my brother-in-law is a Lutheran minister, and he says that the big problem in the Lutheran church is you got them when they're kids, you got them up through confirmation. They get confirmed, and then they're out of there. They never come back to church again until they get married and then have to baptize their kids. So absolutely that it can be a cultural. The fact that you're standing up there in front of because that's the thing, is the church needs to be the body of Christ. When people get together to solemnly enact these rituals for the glory of God, it needs to be as the body of Christ coming together before Almighty God. And you know, some congregations just are not that way.
Right.
And I don't know. I can see that there's some Lutheran churches where they're just going through the motions. Some Episcopal churches where they're just going through the motions. I'm not going to say anything about Baptists because I don't know Baptists. But you know,
the missions are the best of them.
you know what I'm saying is that it really is a separate issue.
Well, yeah, I know. As growing up, I was never baptized because we were always taught that baptismal was the confession publicly that yes, I am a Christian. And at the time that I would have normally been doing it was the time I walked away from the church. And for me, when Sherry and I got together and I started attending Grace Baptist, I was doing a much closer walk with the Lord, and I felt that it was finally time. So I didn't actually get baptized till I was like 45 years old. And at that time, before I could get baptized, I had to meet with the elders and deacons, give them my testimony, and they asked me some different questions to check how I was, you know, where my was at with my walk. And it was only then that they allowed me to go through the baptismal service. And I think with the Catholic Church, my brother left our church and married a girl that's Catholic. And he started attending Catholic church with her and is now a member of the church. And all his children have been raised. They were over at Christmas time and they said, well, you're a Baptist. I said, no. I'm a Christian. I believe in the one and only God that had his son come down here to earth and hung on a cross for our sins, died, shedding his blood, and 3 days later was risen. I serve a risen God. I says, but I attend a Baptist church. The difference is, I think, with the Catholics is they're so regimental and ceremonial and so much of their stuff. My ex-father-in-law wouldn't let me park in his driveway because I was a Protestant. And after a long discussion, and I proved to him that I believed the same way he believed, we just practiced that belief in a different way. But they still believe that they can get by their works and what have you, and not by confessing, you know, and asking God to take these sins for his son's blood that was shed. And, you know, growing up, I was in a real legalistic church. You were going to hell for everything if it wasn't based on church doctrine. And I think that's where our problem comes with. I mean, even the Baptists, how many different types of Baptist churches are there? There's Southern Baptists, Northern Baptists. You know, even the Baptists can't even get their doctrine straight. So it's so hard. And it goes back to right to the beginning where we said, are you a believer that Jesus Christ shed his blood? He died. He was risen. And by asking for his forgiveness of your sins, that you're going to get to heaven. And that is the only way. I am the truth, the light, the way. No one gets to the Father but by me. And that's the bottom line.
Yes. Jason, you had a comment?
Yeah, I did. With what Gracie was saying and what Larry was saying, I think Charlie touched on it as well, but you know, about the ritual, about, you know, maybe, you know, we go through in our program, we just went through a catechism. We did like a short version of the Westminster Catechism with really young kids. And a lot of it was, we saw it as planting seeds. I mean, we knew some of the kids just weren't getting it. We knew some of the kids were not quite understanding all the things. But we memorized 52 questions during this past school year. And you know, we had to concern ourselves with, well, you know, we're planting the seeds here. You know, I'm not so against the kind of the ritualism and maybe some of the rote kind of things that, you know, even the Catholic Church does. I think there's some good in that. And that we're planting the seeds, and you know, if a kid is learning to memorize it and is learning to have it by rote, you know, that there's got to be a point where they're going to come to a decision where that one little thing that they memorized way back when they're 8 years old is going to hit them when they're 25, and they're going to say, oh, that's it, you know, they're gonna finally get it, and you know, I'm just not so down. I'm going to try to rag on the Catholic Church and you know, in any other faith, any other denomination that really pushes like the kind of the rote and the ritual. You know, sometimes that's kind of freeing for us that, you know, the word of the Lord will not return void. You know, if we're memorizing it, if we're teaching kids the word of the Lord, you know, sometimes it's going to return to them when they least expect it and when we least expect it. So that's kind of my take on that. I wanted to respond to that as far as what we've talked about, the Catholic Church and the Lutheran.
That's an interesting, I mean, that's a great perspective that I'm glad got on the call, because I too think that there is merit in those traditions and especially in the tradition of a confirmation. However, like everybody said, you can't depend on a confirmation. And I think too many people, I think it allows some people to say, no, I went through confirmation, I'm saved, I'm good, I can do what I want now. When, you know, it's relationship that matters. But I think there's, like you say, I think there's merit in those traditions because it is seed planting. I just think sometimes emphasis wrongly placed, but
yeah, well,
because it makes the parents feel better that the kid went through confirmation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong, I don't like the bashing either, and one of the things that I've always said was, you know, when I was growing up, we said we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that, and it always comes back to the same thing. You know, Jesus went to the downtrodden, he went to the lame, he went to the prostitutes, you know. And as Christians, we're supposed to spread the good news. Well, how can we spread the good news if we aren't with the people that need to hear it? When we did our vacation Bible school this year, we had 15 kids there, or so I believe it was, that came forward and made a decision for Christ. And each of those kids is being followed up with and being mentored to help them along in their walk, to get them started. And that's the thing, you know, we had 98 kids, it was total, and we don't know what seeds were planted. And that's the name of the game. I mean, spread the seeds and see what we can reap, you know?
That is great, Charlie. Joining the call now, we have a very special guest that we've been waiting for, and it wouldn't be a complete call without. So I know everybody will be honored and privileged to know that Tim Mead has finally decided to join us.
It's not decided. I just got home. Oh man!
You can't join a call 25 minutes. You can't join my call 25 minutes late. Not
I just
hard
wrote
time.
You. I just wrote you and said I'll see you next time. Sorry, I'm late. You said pop in. Here I go. Okay,
If you didn't pop in, how could I give you a hard time?
See how it is. I got it. Okay.
Now everybody else be quiet. Tim's going to do the whole show now. Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well,
what we covered so far briefly, okay?
Okay.
Is that we've talked about believing in the Bible, how it's important. If you're talking to somebody who's not sure if they're a Christian, that you should bring the discussion of what, you know, do they believe in the Bible, and you can start from there. And just sort of fill them out, and there's a lot, of course, you can go from there, because you can bring out passages and say, well, you do believe this, or did you know about this, and that kind of thing. Also, we've talked about the most important thing is having a relationship with the Lord, and Gracie, I think, perched that very well. Couched that very well. When did you come to How did you put that? When did you come to a...
When did you come to a place in your life when you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?
Right, right, there you go. And we've also touched on confirmation and the traditions of plant, you know, the churches, the Lutheran. And Jason, what denomination was your church? Is your church, I mean?
We're Presbyterian.
Presbyterian, okay. So that, and they do some, they do the catechism. So we were talking about some of that planting seed and going through confirmation and how that explains the relationship. So where are, so what?
Well, and we also said that it was important to discuss who they knew Jesus to be.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow, you guys are all so smart. How am I going to follow up on that? It's like listening to myself talk, only back to me. Okay, and I guess maybe it's because I approached this from a different kind of a different direction, but the question is posed was sort of like, you know, how do you know when you're a Christian and how do you use that when you're doing evangelism?
Right.
I think what the thoughts that struck me first when I read that was, you're not going to convince anybody about anything unless they're coming from a place where they understand there's more than them. Our world is so self-centered. Our lives are built around us. I mean, and, you know, to a certain extent, that's the way it is. You are the center of everything that goes on around you. But until you come to a realization that life was put here for a reason, that there's more and greater things than just living hand-to-mouth, day-to-day, wage slave, you know, whatever it is, until you get to that point, you aren't ready to find out what's out there beyond your world. And when you are ready to hit that point, I think that's when people become receptive to the spiritual and understanding that, okay, it's a world, it's a system, it's been created, it's been designed, and I'm a part of it. How do I fit into this? And by the way, if it was designed, who's the designer and what do I owe him? You know? So you've got to start with somebody who's willing to accept that they aren't the be-all, end-all. And so the Christianity part of this is in getting them to understand that there's something greater than themselves out there. And that's, I mean, sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. I've run up against some really strong walls in trying to convince people there's more to this life than us here and now.
Well, what would you look for to determine whether that was their problem?
Well, wow, that's a good question. But by the way, I don't recognize the voice. So
this is Larry.
Hey, Larry, nice to talk to you. Sorry.
Okay.
You have great posts. I was wondering if I was up against one of the best, and I am. So what are you looking for when you're trying to figure out it? And I guess it's part of it is a lot about how they live their lives. Everything the Bible tells us you'll know about a person by their fruit. Are they doing anything that isn't centered on what's in it for me? You know, where do I, you know, what do I get out of this deal? It's a matter of when you're talking to them, you'll see the attitude. There will be a certain humbleness in somebody who's ready to accept that they are not the center of the universe that they think they are, or, you know, that they might otherwise think they are. And I don't know. There are people out there who just think that, I mean, look at the books out there today. You're God, I'm God, everybody's God. You don't know. We've got to start worshiping the creator and not the creation. When we start worshiping ourselves, we're throwing God away. And you have to have a humbleness of some part of you has to have humbleness that says, I'm willing to reach out and believe in more than my eyes can see and my hands can grab.
Join us next time for Grace Junkies.
There's only one more thing to add. As deep or as complicated as these conversations can get, I would like to remind everyone that the Christian life is as simple as a relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. We Grace Junkies may disagree on individual points, but we love each other. And we hope that you have a relationship with the Lord because He loves you. Thank you for joining us.
You looking forward to the next Grace Junkies coming live from the Two Blind Squirrels website, My Love Ministries. The Wolfman Jack be coming right back at you now, ladies and gentlemen. But don't worry, because the Lord is still looking down on you all.
Okay, Charlie, you need to turn down the oxygen level on your tank there.
Oh.
So what is this, Brad? Once every 2 weeks? This was fun. Can't we do it, like, tomorrow?
I would love to, but we'd have to get permission from all the wives, and I don't think that's going to be possible. We will be back. Hopefully, we'll see how long it takes to get these shows out, and then we'll schedule another one.
Sounds great.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
I'm not going to say a word here.